I want to read for you their scripture for today, which is Matthew, the first chapter, verses 1 through 17. Long scripture, but there's a reason for it. And there are a lot of pronunciations in there. So if I kind of hesitate a little bit, just, you know, you can holler out the pronunciation as you know. This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron was the father of Ram. Other versions sometimes call him Aram. Ram was the father of Aminadab. Aminadab was the father of Nashon. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. David was the father of Solomon, whose mother was Bathsheba, the widow of Uriah. Solomon was the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the father of Abijah. Abijah was the father of Asa. Some versions call him Asaph. Asa was the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was the father of Jeroham. Jeroham was the father of Uzziah. Uzziah was the father of Jotham. Jotham was the father of Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was the father of Manasseh. Manasseh was the father of Amon. Amon was the father of Josiah. Josiah was the father of Jehoiachin, and his brothers, born at the time of exile to Babylon. After the Babylon exile, Jehoiachin was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel is the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the father of, let me get my glasses cleared here, Abiud was the father of Eliakim. Eliakim was the father of Azor. Azor was the father of Zadok. Zadok was the father of Achim. Achim was the father of Elud. Elud was the father of Eleazar. Eleazar was the father of Mathan. Mathan was the father of Jacob. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. All those listed above include 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylon exile, and 14 from the Babylonian exile to the Messiah. May the Lord add his blessing to our reading of his word and of our hearing of it. I guess I should explain my tie. You know, Kermit the Frog doesn't usually show up for church, but he did today. The reason that I'm wearing this is that it was given to me as Boskydale Baptist Church celebrated its 50th anniversary. No, it was given to me as I celebrated my, thank you, Laura. See, I wondered if anybody would catch that. The 50th anniversary of my ordination to ministry. That is 7 years ago, and I have been ordained to the gospel ministry for 57 years. So God has blessed. And I got to thinking about wearing a tie today, and I thought, you know, this is where everyone celebrated my 50th anniversary. You probably don't remember this. Maybe you do. This is where everyone celebrated my 40th anniversary. This is where everyone celebrated my my retirement from Bosquedale a little over a year ago. Anyway, the celebration of an anniversary reminds us that Christian people living in the midst of world history are like Janus of Roman mythology, of whom it was said he looked simultaneously forward and backward. Our look backward at 116 years of this congregation's life gives us courage and hope forward for the next 100 or so. I've chosen this text that marks a similar turning point in the Bible. The opening 17 verses of Matthew 1, an opening of the New Testament, the beginning of the collected writings of the Christian church. And I said turning point. By turning point, I mean moving from the old to the new, Old Testament to New Testament. I think this must seem like a strange text for a sermon, 17 verses of names, verses saying who was the father of whom for 42 generations. But let's make it not really strange, but rather helpful for today. And if you'll excuse me, I am working with a very dry mouth, so I'll take a sip every once in a while. Sue says you start mumbling when your mouth gets dry, and I do. I do, and that may be, you know, the best thing I do, but well, why genealogy? That's what those 16 verses are, a genealogy. That's a passage that is never included in a scripture reference book called the lectionary. It's seldom read in a worship service, and it's even omitted or drastically abridged in most Bible story books. It just doesn't appear. At first glance, it may seem like mere background information. But in Matthew's understanding of the gospel, and in the logic of the New Testament arrangement of everything called the canon that places Matthew's gospel first, this genealogy is the proper beginning for the story of Jesus. Why is Jesus' family history so important at this point in the Bible? Well, here's what it seems to be. Jesus' genealogy serves two major purposes. First, it tells readers just who Jesus was in the order of history, where he came along. The original readers of this gospel were almost all Jewish people, who Matthew believed could best understand Jesus if they knew how he fit into their history. You know who Abraham was, he says, and Isaac and Jacob and David and Solomon. This Jesus, the Christ, is their descendant from the origins of Judaism. And the second thing is this list of generations told Matthew's readers the accurate meaning of the special origins of their own history. In Jesus' day, the people of Israel all looked to the past for their purpose. They were the people who had been delivered from Egypt, who had received the Ten Commandments, who had conquered the Promised Land. But over the decades and centuries, they had become subjects of one foreign empire or another. And this led them to be inclined sometimes to see all their glory being in the past. And because their history had endured many defeats and many losses of energy, identity at times, so many who believed they were supposed to be a special people of God also had a feeling as though possibly God had abandoned them. In this long genealogy of Jesus, Matthew tells them The meaning of your history is not in the past, but in the present. The significance of Abraham and Jacob and David is not that they lived in the good old days when God really cared, but now you can see that we were always really the forerunners of Jesus. That's what he said to the people. And the key importance of Israel's history for Matthew was the one outcome toward which it was leading all the way, each step for those 42 generations, then the birth of a Messiah, Savior. Matthew's two reasons for beginning his gospel with Jesus' genealogy suggest a Christian view of our church family history that shapes our reflections on the way our own Bosquedale Baptist Church anniversary, this number 116, means what it means to us. So thank you, Matthew, for showing us special reasons for celebrating who we are as a church, family with Jesus. First, as a church, we are formed and identified by our history, by where we have been in the past. And second, the meaning and significance of that history will now be determined by the future, by where our past, where our history has led us to where we are now, and where it can lead us for our future. Henry Ford, you all know Henry Ford. Henry Ford once said that history is bunk. And there are people in our age who appear to agree with that notion. Their current answers to that mistaken idea say this: tear down that statue and he never existed. Or pay me huge retribution money and it changes what someone else long ago did to my great-great-grandfather. We all know Henry Ford's pronouncement that history isn't true is in itself a statement that is not true. History is not all bunk. History affects the present, and history will affect the future. The church, in its identity as an ongoing institution, has a past history, and that's not bunk. Perhaps no institution is more clearly defined by its history than the church. The Christian faith is based on a collection of writings presented to us as clearly a history of God's presence in places, in people, in things, in principles that dates from antiquity. Those writings are the Holy Bible. And the Bible is not only a significantly historic book. It is a historical book. It tells about the people, the history of God's dealing with his people. We read the stories about what God did for his people thousands of years ago, about the birth of Isaac and Jacob, about Moses at the burning bush, the parting of the Red Sea, and him being handed the Ten Commandments, which are the basis of all law, about David and Goliath, and then a 70-year exile of the Hebrews to Babylon. We read and we tell the story of the incarnate birth of God in the human baby, Jesus. The four Gospels recount the ministry days of Jesus and his schooling of the apostles, of the disciples. The Bible gives graphic detail of the horrendous trial and death of our Lord Christ on the Calvary cross. And we are told in sacred words of our New Testament of his death. Now, that's behind him, and he is our risen Savior, just as it was told to the first readers of God's Word 2,000 years back in human history. That ancient Word seizes our attention and makes us know we are the people of God. You know, we may start this day thinking of we're 116 years old, but really, our significant Christian ancestry goes back much farther than 1906. Our personal and our collective faith is further shaped by the centuries of Christian history from when the Bible was written all the way up to now. We make our public confession in words like the Baptist Faith and Message. We sing hymns that are hundreds of years old. We practice ordinances that are much more older than the languages we use to celebrate baptism and our Lord's Supper. And of course, getting much closer to home on this 116th anniversary, we remember the history of this congregation in this community, the generations of your own families who've been born and baptized, married, and some buried right here in this community. The traditions that you have created and that have, in turn, made you the people of the family of Bosquedale Baptist Church that you are. Today, don't you just feel how proud we are to say that we are a part of that? We're part of that whole history, and that's just as our Matthew scripture text describes, as Jesus was a part of the history of Israel, all 42 generations from Abraham on down. We are all identified in many ways by our histories, our family, our culture. By verse 6 of your scripture there on your bulletin, by verse 6, Matthew introduced David, to whom Jesus became David's 28 times grandson. We owe who we are to our past, to our heritage, to our upbringing and education, and our traditions. You and I, this special congregation, are products of what our past has been. You see, the past fills us. Looking to the future and the Holy Spirit's power leads us onward and it challenges us. Matthew also knew that the past wasn't enough. He wanted to correct and expand the vision of those people who in those days were always looking to the past for meaning. The real point of reviving all those generations of Israelites, he claimed, was that they were always leading up to something that was to follow them. And we can learn a lot from that kind of past. But its most important function is not to learn from it, but to lead us into the future. Excuse me a moment. You see, Jesus made that plain. He told his disciples to remember what he had done. When you do this, remember me. He also turned their attention to the future tasks for which his ministry was preparing them. Go and be my witnesses, he told them. Go and work in the vineyard. Go and make disciples. Jesus never let his disciples dwell on what had already been done. Their purpose was not to be found in where they had been, but with that, part of their purpose, it was to move them on to where they would be, where they should be going. Our faith is born and nurtured in a historical experience, in what God has done for us in the past. But that God-blessed faith must always lead us into the future. As this church today, our anniversary celebration, 116 years of worship, fellowship, and service together, it naturally turns our gaze back on our history. But you must let that history be a part of Bosquedale's movement into the future. Jesus has commissioned you. He has sent you for your future into the world with a mission. Question for Bosquedale. How will we fulfill it? You know, there are no children or young people in the present day of Bosquedale Church, but there have been many in the past. You need new ones of those in the near future. And as you have done well back then, you again will have a responsibility to prepare them for what you and they will face in the future, in the future life of the Bosquedale church family. You have responsibility to your old people. I mean, I can speak to that. us guys. To help meet ours and the future older adults in their needs in an ever-changing world. You have a responsibility to this community around you, and truly even beyond it, to proclaim the good news of salvation and to be examples of Christ's way of life, examples of Christ's love. Let the stories of faith, commitment, and service that are told today as we recite the history of this congregation strengthen you, prepare you, and propel you into the next 100 or more years of your ministry in this place. Yet the question, where are we going, has a still greater significance. Because as Christians, we know that our history points toward an eternal direction, an ultimate goal. In the incarnation, death, and resurrection of Christ, the world has been readied toward its final moment, in which we will be both finished and begun anew. We, along with the likes of Abraham and Sarah, Boaz and Ruth, Joseph and Mary, and hundreds of family generations of the sons and daughters of God, we are a part of the history that flows into God's endless eternity. And one of the most important theological books of the last 25 years is titled Theology of Hope, written by Jürgen Moltmann. From first to last, wrote Moltmann, Christianity is hope, looking forward and forward moving. The promise is that the future is ultimately in God's hands. It is our faith in the truth of the end of time that directs our journey through time. You see why that was an important book. The church's purpose is both to remember God's faithfulness, God's kindness, His mercy, and His providence through our history up to now, and to move us and our world toward the goal God has given us. So during this anniversary celebration, we need to see ourselves as standing in a place like the place from which Matthew started his story of Jesus. We look to our history, the history including all of God's people, including the Christian church, including this Bosquedale congregation, remembering who we are and where we have been. At the same time, we are to look to the future, remembering what we have been to put here, what we've been to put here to do, and where we are going. Our history is always leading us somewhere. Our glory as God's children is always yet to come as we are Holy Spirit led. And on this great day, incorporating our past, our present, and a vision of God's intent for our future, let us celebrate together with a joyful hallelujah and an amen. With me, hallelujah and amen. And God bless us.